everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, I'm going to speak to you plainly, and I trust prophetically, about an issue that is burning in my spirit for a long time. It's about the charismatic and Pentecostal world, my world. I speak not as an outsider throwing stones, but as someone who has lived this movement for four generations, going back to my great-grandparents in the early 1900s, just a few years after Azusa Street. I've spent 50 years covering the move of the Holy Spirit in Charisma magazine. I've written about revival, interviewed the great leaders in the church, reported on what God is doing around the world. But today we need to talk about something uncomfortable. Compromise is creeping in to the Spirit-filled church, even if it's just quiet and softly. And the time has come to expose it with truth, grace, and courage. So stay with me. This is going to be direct and, I believe, prophetic. But let me say up front that I love the charismatic movement. I've been deeply impacted by it. I've dedicated Charisma Media to serving it. But because I love it, I must speak the truth about compromise. Now, over the last 20 years, I've watched a drift, a softening, an unwillingness to confront sin or to preach the word with clarity and conviction. I've seen churches that once trembled under the power of the Holy Spirit now seem more concerned about lighting cues during the service than about the altar call. I've seen worship that was once an open heaven become a polished concert. Fog machines in the service instead of fear of the Lord. Rehearsed transitions instead of spontaneous prayer. Stage performance instead of spiritual power. And the pastors, many of them are good men. They love Jesus, but too often they're silent. Silent on the issues the Bible thunders about. Silent on sin. Silent on politics. Silent on holiness. Silent on the deception of the age. It's as if we're living in a parallel charismatic universe. It's full of energy, enthusiasm, and excitement, but cut off from the fire, the conviction, and the world-shaking power that defined our movement. So let's start with the obvious. Where are the sermons about sin? Where are the messages about holiness? Where are the calls to repentance? I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about the gospel. The Bible is clear. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Repent and be converted and go and sin no more. But in many charismatic churches today, repentance is optional. Holiness is theoretical and sin is therapeutic. Pastors avoid talking about cohabitation, premarital sex, pornography, adultery, gender confusion, drunkenness, materialism, even basic biblical morality. For example, do you realize that many young people in charismatic churches are living together before marriage and nobody says a word? Do you realize how many believers are trapped in pornography and their pastors never address it because it might make some people feel uncomfortable? So instead, we preach breakthrough, but not repentance. We preach blessing, but not obedience. We preach destiny, but not discipleship. We preach freedom, but we never name the chains. This is not the movement my grandparents knew. This is not what the early Pentecostals paid the price for. Holiness was their heartbeat. Power was their witness. Conviction was their crown. But today, silence is our scandal. Now, let me touch on the third rail, worship. Or I should say what we call worship. Because much of what passes as worship today is really Christian entertainment. It's Christian music conference every Sunday morning. It's professionally staged, carefully timed, technically perfect. But here's the problem. You can rehearse a song, but you cannot rehearse the Holy Spirit. when the worship leader spends more time worrying about angles, lighting, and volume, transitions, and emotional crescendos than about actually seeking God, something is wrong. When you can predict every moment of the service down to the second, something is wrong. When the gifts of the Holy Spirit can't operate because they don't fit the schedule, something is wrong. I remember services, not ancient history, but within my lifetime, where one prophetic word would stop everything in a service. When an altar call might last an hour, where people cried out in repentance, where deliverance and healing were normal. Now, in many churches, there's no room for any of that. Not for repentance, not for prophecy, not for healing, not for the fear of the Lord. We have replaced power with polish. We have replaced anointing with atmosphere. We have replaced spontaneity with script. And worst of all, we tell ourselves we're doing it for excellence. But excellence without anointing is just entertainment with a cross on the wall. Now, let me step even deeper waters. Silence about sin is bad. The entertainment culture is bad. But the political cowardice is devastating. And let me say this clearly. I'm not preaching party politics. I'm not preaching partisanship. I'm preaching moral clarity. The Democratic Party today unapologetically supports abortion until birth, gender ideology, the transgender agenda, the destruction of biblical marriage, the erasing of women's sports, radical secularism, hostility toward Israel, hostility toward religious freedom, and the celebration of virtually everything the Bible calls sin. And yet, many Spirit-filled pastors refuse to say a word because it would offend some Democrats in their churches. They won't address abortion. They won't address gender. They won't address LGBT ideology creeping toward our kids. They won't address anti-Israel sentiment. They won't address socialism or Marxism. They won't address the moral collapse of the culture. Do you know what this is? It's fear. It's self-preservation. It's the worship of comfort and avoidance of conflict. Pastors tell me things like, I don't want to divide the church. I don't want to lose families. We just preach the gospel. But here's the truth. If your gospel doesn't confront sin, it isn't the gospel. If your gospel avoids moral clarity, it isn't the gospel. If your gospel is afraid of the culture, it isn't the gospel. We're not dealing with complicated political theories. We're dealing with good and evil. When a platform calls for the killing of unborn children, the mutilization of minors, hostility toward Israel, and the silencing of Christians, this is not politics. This is spiritual warfare. And if the Spirit-filled church won't speak out now, when will we? We can't expect the evangelicals who don't claim the power of the Holy Spirit to speak up. In fact, it's sad to say that many of them are actually going woke. But something equally bad is happening in our circles because compromise cannot be tolerated. Now, this next statement pains me to say. Much of the charismatic world is charismatic in name only. The doctrine is there, the vocabulary is there, the branding is there, but the power, gone, hidden, sidelined, ignored. I've attended churches that call themselves Spirit-filled, but there is no tongues, no prophecy, no healing, no deliverance, no conviction, little fear of the Lord, or manifest presence, repentance, hunger, or intercession. Now, in the same services, there's energy, there's enthusiasm, there's emotion, there's excitement, but there's no power. The Holy Spirit is often acknowledged, but he is not welcomed. He is referenced, but he's not obeyed. He is praised, but not feared. This is not Spirit-filled Christianity. This is a Pentecostal costume without Pentecostal fire. So where do we go from here? We don't need a new strategy. We don't need another conference. We don't need better branding or bigger screens. We need a return to the foundation, a return to the fear of the Lord, a return to holiness, a return to repentance, a return to bold preaching, a return to altar calls, a return to tongues and prophecy, a return to spiritual warfare, a return to the power of the Holy Spirit. We need pastors who fear God more than man, worship leaders who seek God more than applause, churches that preach truth even when it stings, believers who live holy even when the culture mocks them. The charismatic movement began as a move of power, purity, and conviction, and fire. It shook nations. It transformed lives. It delivered addicts. It healed the broken. It saved souls. It confronted sin. God is calling us back. Now, before we close, if this message resonates with you, if you want to go deeper into how to live boldly, courageously, and spirit-filled in a culture that has been turned upside down, then I want to encourage you to get my latest book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. We go into a lot of these same issues and give suggestions on how each of us can live a spirit-filled life even when everything in the world seems upside down. Now it's time for churches to preach this, as I've been saying. You can find my book on Amazon, mycharisma.com, or anywhere books are sold. We'll even link to it below. And if you believe messages like this need to be heard, please take a moment to subscribe. Hit the thumbs up and share this episode. It helps more than you know. All that helps the algorithm, which means that more people will see this. And be sure to leave a comment, because I want to know what you think. Now let me close with this. The charismatic movement does not need better production. It needs better repentance. It does not need louder music. It needs deeper obedience. It does not need more stage lights. It needs more light of the Holy Spirit. We are people of Pentecost. We are the people of fire. We're the people of the Spirit. Now let's live like it. Let's preach like it. Let's worship like it. Let's stand like it. Thank you for joining me on the Strang Report. Be sure to tune in each week or check out our past episodes on YouTube. God bless you, and may the Holy Spirit ignite a fresh fire in your life today.